is Free Talk Live. And as always, you can dial in here toll-free, take control of the airwaves, bring up whatever is on your mind. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've also got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. That's where you can connect and jump into one of those rooms, and then once we see you in there, we will join the room, and you'll sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. Toll-free number again, 855-450-FREE, Discord over at discord.lrn.fm. Vincent, looking a little winded.
I need new shoes. I mean, my feet are covered in blisters. Each step I take is agonizing.
Really?
So yeah, sorry about that. That's what took me so long. It's just like I can't walk fast when it, you know, it's like burning.
That's tough. Well, you know, good to have you here anyway. So stuff in the news to talk about. Welcome to the show on day number two of our ban off of the Twitch platform. Folks have been watching on DLive. If you want to check out our video feed, you can do that exclusively. Well, I guess it's not exclusive on DLive yet. We still have the YouTube. But DLive over at DLive.LRN.FM. And I forgot, maybe I should have put it into 720p mode, but oh well. Anyway, there is another update, another story about the FBI and their operation of child pornography servers, which is a pretty disturbing concept. You know, the idea that these are the people who are arresting people for possessing child pornography, but they're also the ones giving it to them. And if you believe the claim that the governments make a lot, and that is that the existence of and the passing of the possession of child pornography somehow continues to re-victimize the people who are photographed, the people who might have been forced against their will, raped perhaps, and you know, the victims in these cases, that it continues to harm the victim. That's the claim that's made, but yet the FBI goes right out there, takes over servers, not just servers, but the more recent story that they took over a WhatsApp chat room, I think it was. I've never used WhatsApp, so I don't know how it works, but a purported chat room in which there were like multiple people trading pornography, child pornography, and the FBI operated those rooms for a period of, I don't know how long, I forget the details of that story, but that's yet another one. But in this case, the update here from Reason.com's Elizabeth Nolan Brown, the Department of Justice has been dismissing child pornography cases in order to not reveal information about the software programs used as the basis for the charges. An array of cases suggests serious problems with the tech tools used by federal authorities, but the private entities who develop these tools won't submit them for independent inspection or hand over hardly any information about how they work, their error rates, other critical information. As a result, potentially innocent people are being smeared as pedophiles and prosecuted as child porn collectors, while potentially guilty people are going free so these companies can protect trade secrets. This isn't all about the companies protecting trade secrets, though. It's about the FBI protecting their secrets. Now, if they had a company design it, then by proxy, they're protecting them. But essentially, it's the FBI not wanting to give over information in the discovery process. And that means if you don't hand over the information, you have to drop the case. And that's what one judge told them. And as far as I knew, I thought there was only one case where this had happened. The situation suggests that some of the many problems that can arise around public-private partnerships in catching criminals and the secretive digital surveillance software that it entails, software that's being employed for far more than catching child predators, because again, these could be employed on a terrorism site, right? Like some sort of whatever a terrorism site looks like, they could employ it on that. We haven't seen any news stories about anything like that happening, but in theory, this could be used to catch real, dangerous people. The situation with the child pornography cases, Tim Cushing at TechDirt writes, quote, "The defendants are hardly the most sympathetic. Yet that's all the more reason why the government's antics here are disturbing. Either the feds initially brought bad cases against people whom they just didn't think would fight back, or they're willing to let bad behavior go rather than face some public scrutiny." And I'm pretty sure it's, at the very least, in many cases, the former. because they know that people don't fight back. Anybody who's a prosecutor in the Department of Justice absolutely knows that when they bring charges, especially federal charges, 99% or close to it, maybe 98% or something like that, like the super, super, super majority of those cases are going to take a plea deal. Doesn't matter what the charges are. It can be drug related. It can be porn related. It can be, you know, violence. It can be who knows, whatever it is, they're going to take a plea deal just because it's intimidating. And you also, you know, you don't really have much of a chance to win. Like, even if the facts are in your corner, it's hard to win because the government, they have virtually unlimited resources. They can hire as many, you know, have as many police, have as many prosecutors, have as much time to prosecute. If you are able to afford an attorney, well, that's good. A lot of people can't. So they end up being stuck with a public defender. And that's, you know, that is not going to give many people confidence.
Now, they're probably the ones who tell the people to take the first plea deal.
Absolutely they are. Because why not? Why would they want to have to work? The public defender doesn't want to actually go to court, most of them. I'm not saying that's true of all of them, okay? There have been a couple who I've met. I don't know any federal ones, but here in the Keene area, I can think of the guy that defended Rich Paul in his case where he had a fight in downtown Central Square, and they tried to involve Rich. At the time, he's a felon, so he can't legally carry a weapon for self-defense. But he can pick up a weapon or use a thing that he had legally as a weapon in the case of somebody trying to attack him. So he used, a monopod. He had a monopod for a camera that he happened to have with him. And he used that in sort of a defensive manner. They charged him with violation of probation, tried to take him off probation, tried to put him back in a prison cell. And this public defender did an amazing job of defending Rich. But you're right, Vincent. Most of the people who have public defenders, and for that matter, most of the people who have paid defense attorneys, are going to take a plea deal. Because the same thing's true of the paid defense attorney. You already gave him $5,000. What's it matter to the defense attorney whether or not he goes to trial or walks you through and holds your hand through a plea deal? Because that's a lot easier. I mean, it's a lot easier on everybody.
And even if you insist on skipping the first plea deal, you might not have enough funds to last until they offer you a second or get a better deal.
Well, that's a possibility. It depends. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of experience with hiring criminal defense attorneys because usually I just take whatever case I have to court myself. In a lot of cases, you just pay a flat fee. So the defense attorney will say it's $5,000 for my representation or whatever arbitrary amount.
I see. I was going off from what I heard about Roger Stone's legal defense, where it's ongoing. It's been on for years, and he had to move houses because he couldn't afford his mortgage anymore because the bills got so high.
Is that criminal defense or civil?
It was he was being charged with, I think, something like lying to Congress or something along those lines, a process crime during the Mueller probe.
It must be a criminal charge then. I'm not saying it's always that way, Vincent. Like, if an attorney looks at a case and they're not sure how long it's going to take to research or defend or whatever, whereas if they look at a case and they're like, oh, yeah, DUI, I do these all the time, $2,000. Around here, at least, in the more the local charges situations, it's a flat, you know, however many thousands of dollars. So usually, you know, you've got to pay that up front. In a lot of cases. So if you want to comment, you're welcome to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So the point is, they know you're not going to fight back, no matter what the charges are. So why not just bring the charges? And don't reveal your evidence. If they ask you for evidence, which is one of the first steps that you do when you're going to trial, is you ask for discovery. And then if they ask for discovery, you're like, oh, well, we'll just drop that one. F it. We got 100 other people who took a plea deal. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up whatever you want here. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, and you're invited to join us here on the radio. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's toll-free, 855-450-3733. And we've also got the Discord on air call-in line rooms, which honestly sound way better. And I'll give preference to somebody on Discord most of the time, just because it just sounds so good. You can use our Discord server over at discord.lrn.fm. Forkfest is coming up in, like, I don't know, a month and a half. It's going to be here very soon, just over a month and a half. The Forkfest, you can go to forkfest.party to learn more about this decentralized camping festival, libertarian camping event, that sprung from the Porcupine Freedom Festival and is now sponsoring the Porcupine Freedom Festival this year. It follows the it's before, actually. It's the 5 days before the Porcupine Freedom Festival this year over at forkfest.parties, where you can learn more about it. It's decentralized, meaning nobody is in charge of the festival. There's no tickets. Okay, there's no board of directors, no organizers. It's all self-organized by each attendee. Everybody who's attending decides what they want to do. So I heard, Vincent, a rumor that you might be teaming up with my roommate and doing some kind of a food table or booth.
Absolutely, yeah.
Have you guys talked about, like, what sort of food options you're going to have?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the comfort food. The kind of stuff people want to eat while camping.
So, absolutely.
You know, fried Twinkies. That's
really?
That's on the, that's an idea. That's
that sounds
idea.
Like dessert, but, like, what about, like, you know,
food? Oh, yeah. Well, that's, you know, we want to keep the menu a secret.
All right, fair enough. Well, I'm looking forward to it because last year was only the second year, and people were having to leave the campground to go and get food. So there was definitely a demand for people who wanted to eat there. So
it's going to be all day, too, breakfast, lunch,
awesome.
And dinner.
It's a growing event, and there's a lot more buzz this year. I was on Ernest Hancock's show this morning, Declare Your Independence, for an hour, talking with him about Forkfest and, you know, what to expect, and he's super excited. He went to the first year, so he saw the smallest Forkfest. This is probably going to be the biggest one from the way it's sounding. You can learn more about it. It's June 13th through the 18th, and it's at Rogers Campground, which is an absolutely beautiful location in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. You decide what to do. Do you just want to relax and chill out with other libertarians on a great campsite, or do you want to create something? Maybe you want to throw a party. The guys from AnyPay, Stephen and Derek, are going to be throwing parties every night at Forkfest, and they even moved the epic Buzz, or what used to be known as Buzz's Big Gay Dance Party. The Big Gay Dance Party, which was going to return to Porkfest this year, is not returning to Porkfest and is instead going to be on the final night of Forkfest. So it's going to be a big year. Plus, there's Man Camp, is what Jay Noon has announced he's going to be doing, and other parties are being thrown. Jay and his wife are going to be celebrating their first anniversary because they got married last year at Forkfest. And, you know, these are all things that people decided they just wanted to create, things they wanted to do. So go to forkfest.party. You can connect with the Forkfest chat room there on Telegram, and also the Forkfest forum, where you can interact with other people who are intending to attend. So our toll-free number again, 855-450-FREE. We're sharing a story out of Reason.com about the federal government, the FBI, Department of Justice, dropping criminal charges against child porn defendants. Now, we don't know if we're talking about people who actually manufacture child pornography, who arguably are committing a crime, because probably in 99% of the cases, or with the exception of, like, teenagers who take pictures of themselves and then send them around, because they get charged with child pornography as well, which is crazy. But the ones that actually, you know, are forcing children to have sex on video or photographed, those people, we don't know if it's them or, like, just the people who possess it, which in my opinion is just, like, possessing evidence of a crime, not an actual crime. And the federal government wants you to believe that that's an actual crime. They're claiming that you're victimizing if you have possessed, whether it's somebody who's taken a picture of themselves or a victim of actual child pornography, that you're somehow victimizing that victim by simply having the thing. And so if that's true, then the FBI is victimizing all of those victims by not only having those things on the servers that they've stolen from whoever was operating them, but then continuing to operate them and distributing hundreds of thousands of iterations of these things over a matter of weeks that they've done this. So more here from the story at Reason. Either the feds initially brought bad cases against people whom they didn't think would fight back. Yeah, that's it. Or they'd be willing to let bad behavior go rather than face some public scrutiny. An extensive investigation by ProPublica quote, found more than a dozen cases since 2011 that were dismissed either because of challenges to the software's findings or the refusal by the government or the maker to share the computer program with defense attorneys or both, writes Jack Gillum. And I had no idea this was going on for so long. We've been covering the case that happened in 2015. Did not know they had such malware that existed prior to that. Quote, defense attorneys have long complained that the government secrecy claims may hamstring suspects seeking to prove the software wrongly identified them. But the growing success of the counterattack also is raising concerns that by questioning the software used by investigators, some who trade in child pornography can avoid punishment. Well, if they don't use the secret software to make their arrest, and they do it, you know, the old-fashioned way, through detective work, then they have their conviction, right? Like, the old way of doing this was, as I understand it, the federal government agents would infiltrate whatever platforms had the child pornography on them, whether it's a WhatsApp chat room or, you know, some darknet website. These are some of the examples we've heard of recently. But then just, you know, somehow investigate the people individually and see if you can get them to give up information about where they are or whatever. And if you do that, then there's no secrets that you know, you're holding on to. In this case, the secret is the software. They don't want to talk about it. How does it work? What's the programming? How do they identify computers remotely? How did they break Tor? How did they get around that? Tor is the onion router. You familiar with it?
Yeah, invented by, I think it was like naval intelligence or something. So I think that answers your question.
So you're saying that Tor is inherently broken, that there's something backdoor?
Oh, absolutely. If it was invented by them, there's obviously some sort of backdoor.
Yeah, but it's open source.
Well, it's open source for... I don't know much about the technology. I mean, I just don't doubt that if they release that, they're going to have some sort of ace up their sleeve or some sort of secret trick that they're going to be able to break it.
Well, whatever it is, they don't want to talk about it. And the courts have sought to overcome concerns that scrutiny would diminish the effectiveness of the software for law enforcement or infringe on intellectual property rights by ordering only secret and monitored third-party review processes. But federal prosecutors have rejected even these compromises, drawing worry that it's not legitimate concerns driving their secrecy, but a lack of confidence in the software's efficacy or some other more nefarious reason. Look, it seems crystal clear, like, the reason they don't want to give out the software is because it ends their investigations at that point. Presumably, that software is employed in other places, right? Like, maybe they've taken over some other website or they've launched their own site or whatever. Maybe they're using it to try to bust terrorists. I don't know. But presumably, they're using it on some other basis. And they know that if they give away the program, then it's curtains for that program. And then they'd have to figure out some other exploit because then everybody would know about it. Of course, not everybody knows. I mean, not all criminals pay attention to the news. But anyway, more coming up here. 855-450-FREE. But defense attorneys do. 855-450-3733. You join us here on Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live has found that though U.S. financial institutions are prohibited from doing business with foreign gambling websites, it's not illegal for U.S.-based internet users to gamble on those sites. People have been using VPNs or virtual private networks to connect to sites like games.bitcoin.com and play games with Bitcoin Cash. Games.bitcoin.com features poker, blackjack, roulette, craps, keno, slots, and dice. You can conduct your own investigation at games.bitcoin.com. It is Free Talk Live, and you're invited to join us here. Toll free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Edge Wallet, great wallet for cryptocurrency users. And if you're not yet into cryptocurrency, this is the best one to start out with. In fact, not only is it just good for starting out, I'm an experienced user of crypto, and I use Edge Wallet more than any other wallet. And I've been doing that since long before they were a sponsor on Free Talk Live. They're a relatively new sponsor to Free Talk Live. But I'm super excited because I love Edge Wallet, and it's great to talk about things that I already loved. So you can go to edge.app or drop into your Google or Apple App Store and download Edge Wallet. It's available for iOS and Android. You can buy, sell, trade, and securely hold your cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ethereum tokens, Bitcoin Cash, Monero, Ripple, Stellar, and more. They're building this. They've been building this app since 2014. They started with a program called Airbits, which was a Bitcoin-only wallet, and it was the best one. And now they've still got the best wallet. It's called Edge, and it has multiple cryptos that you can store. Edge.app. Secure your freedom. It's Edge.app. That's their website. As we continue here, we will take your calls and thoughts. Talking about the Department of Justice that is dropping cases against people. I had thought there was only one case. At least that's all I'd heard of. But it would make sense that once one of them happened, that other defense attorneys, keyed in on this particular approach and decided to utilize it themselves, and that approach is asking for discovery. That's all they had to do to defeat the government in the case, these cases, is ask for discovery. But most people never get there.
Well, I wonder if this will eventually become common knowledge among, like, the, I guess, the child porn or pedophile crowds, and eventually the entire thing will become be obsolete.
Like 100% of cases will ask for discovery. And
yeah, or most, right? Yeah. You know, enough that it won't be worth doing anymore, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I have no idea, you know, how many people pay attention to the news or know about, you know, these developments.
My understanding is pedophiles are a very, very crafty sort. That's why so many of them end up being politicians in positions of power. So, I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, I
Jeffrey Epstein.
I can't, there's plenty we don't know about. Mm-hmm. I can't, like, speak for, right? I can't get into that mindset. But I imagine if we're going to do something that's that illegal, right? Look at something that's that illegal. We're gonna, and you know, smart enough to be able to use Tor and try and get around it. Mm. We're gonna be also like smart enough to know how to also cover their butts legally.
You might be right. In February, the story from Reason.com, looking at the details in these cases, HRW, which is Human Rights Watch, they've raised questions about these programs and how they've been accessing and storing information. Human Rights Watch sent a letter to the Department of Justice officials expressing concerns about one program called the Child Protection System. TLO, the company behind CPS, the CPS system, has intervened in court cases to prevent disclosure of more information about the program or independent testing of it. Human Rights Watch states, quote, since the system is designed to flag people as suspected of having committed crimes, both its error rates and its potential to exceed constitutional bounds have implications for rights. Yet it's unclear what basis or whether what information the Justice Department has about CPS's potential for error and on what basis, unquote. Prosecutors say they can't share any details about it because, quote, because it's proprietary and not in the government's possession, unquote. Ah, we don't have this. It's somebody else. It's another company. We're just using it. So therefore, it's exempt from discovery requirements. Not. We fear the government may be shielding, says Human Rights Watch, since 2016 has been researching these cases. We fear the government may be shielding its methods from scrutiny by relying on its arrangements with this nonprofit. Another tool used in these cases, Torrential Downpour, was developed by the University of Massachusetts. The school has been fighting against the release of more information about the software, but defendants' lawyers say it's necessary after the program alerted authorities about alleged child porn on computers that couldn't actually be found anywhere on the physical devices. Quote, an examination of the software being used to build cases should be allowed, but the entities behind the software won't allow it, and the government is cutting defendants loose rather than giving them a chance to properly defend themselves against these very serious charges. Well, I don't know if that's that much of a problem, right? Like, if you're facing however many years in prison you'd be facing over these charges, if the government just says, well, we're dropping the charges, have a nice day, wouldn't you be happy about that? I mean, do you actually want to go to court and present evidence?
The damage is still done, right?
That's
because
true. Just the accusation.
Local newspapers are going to report, oh, so and so was busted for child porn possession, and we're never going to write a follow up.
Yeah.
No one's going to, you know,
and you know this. You are in the news business.
Absolutely.
You edited a newspaper at the college level.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're just always, I mean, I can't speak for every paper, but I mean, just in general, like, did, you know, did the Sentinel or WMUR ever run a story after your, you know, your raid here saying, oh, they, you know, it's been 2 years and still nothing.
It's actually been 3 years at this point, and no one has been charged. You're referencing the FBI raid on this very studio.
But my question was there any follow-ups written by any of you?
Not to my knowledge. Certainly nobody questioned me about it, and nobody pointed, I mean, I don't read the newspaper every day, but... Nobody pointed it out. Enough people do to where I probably would have seen something.
So for like someone who's not as much into the public light or was actually arrested, and then they most likely aren't going to do a follow-up just because, you know, people have the attention span of a guppy and they're not going to care.
That's a good point.
When like if a potential employer or anyone looks up her name, that article is going to be what pops up.
Yeah, that's a good point. Although, even if the, you know, let's say the charges did get dropped, or excuse me, if they did go to trial and won at trial, like successfully proved, hey, look, there was no porn here, or proved that the they proved that the federal government, you know, reveal the methods. That may not have gotten any news coverage either. Like winning at a trial 6 months or a year or 3 years later or whenever that trial happens. I mean, what are the odds that there was even a reporter at the trial from that same newspaper? Quote, an examination of the software that is building these cases should be allowed, but the entities won't allow it, they say here, and the government is cutting defendants loose. Quote, I supposedly it ultimately works out for defendants, but it only encourages the government to tip the scales in its favor again when the next prosecution rolls around with the hopes the next offender of the accused isn't quite as zealous. Plus, if these defendants really are innocent, then the government has publicly and falsely smeared them as sickos and then balked at allowing them a true opportunity to clear their names. Well, you know, the thing is, in these cases, at least as I understand, the one case that I'm familiar with the what was called the Playpen case, where the federal government, the FBI, ran a darknet website. That's the reason they raided these studios 3 years ago and stole 50-plus electronic devices from the studio. Haven't returned those devices in all that time, but no one has been charged. They allege somebody accessed this website that they were running, the one that was running the secretive software that they have. You know, in the case in question, they allegedly found child pornography on that guy's computer. So the news releases had the FBI not only saying, we've arrested this so-and-so, I think his name was Michaud, from like Washington State. So not only did the news releases say, so-and-so from our town has been arrested for possession of child, the FBI says they found child pornography on Mr. Michaud's computer. And then, you know, 6 months or a year, however long it was later, the charges get dropped. If he had gone to trial, then, you know, they may have presented the evidence showing they found child pornography on his computer. How does he explain that? You know, how do you defend against that? In this case, the defense is you didn't provide discovery. You have to drop the charges. But that doesn't really exonerate the person, right? Because he still has the federal government alleging these things. Further, the government is effectively, and if the government drops cases or some charges to avoid scrutiny of the software, that could prevent victims from getting justice consistently. The government is effectively asserting sweeping surveillance powers, but is then hiding from the courts what the software did and how it worked. So as this, you know, situation continues to develop, we will continue to report on it to you. The toll-free number, if you want to join us here, is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up whatever you want. You got an update for us, Vincent, from France with the yellow vests and what's happening over there. And that's coming up. You can bring up what you want. Free Talk Live. Hey, it's Free Talk Live, and you may dial toll-free to join us here. The number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've also got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms. Just jump into one of those over at discord.lrn.fm, and you will sound way better than the average caller. Once again, it's discord.lrn.fm. By the way, thanks to Am I Free to Go, a Free Talk Live silver amplifier. This person is contributing $5 a month to the Free Talk Live AMP program, and you can do that too if you want. If you like what we do here, if you value the discussions that we have, the ideas that we share, the fact that it's open phones every single night, and we're on 7 nights a week across the United States, and even beyond that on satellite platforms and all kinds of places, internet streaming, podcast. If you like the fact that we're there doing this thing and helping people understand the ideas of freedom, then please go to amp.freetalklive.com. You can sign up there for the AMP program with major credit cards, with PayPal, with Bitcoin BTC. It's amp.freetalklive.com. And you get some cool perks. You can get into the supporters chat rooms on our Discord. You can get into the AMP only Facebook group if you're still into the Facebook thing. And there's some other cool perks as well. Go get the list of perks. Get the things that we're doing with the money. There's a list of that as well over at amp.freetalklive.com. And then please get signed up. It's ampamp.freetalklive.com. It's the simplest, one of the simplest, easiest, most effective things you can do to help spread Free Talk Live. We're at 195 radio stations and counting. Just added a couple more this week with the addition of WVMT there in Vermont, up in the Burlington area, which I'm very excited about. Was on their morning show this morning, actually. That's why I'm a little zonked. I had to take a nap right before the show. I was literally up at 6:30 this morning after sleeping for 4 hours just so I could be interviewed on WVMT. It turned out it was a really entertaining interview, and I did record it. I also streamed it live on our DLive video streaming platform. So if you were up at 6 a.m., you could have watched it happen live, but I will get the archive up later on. As we continue here, of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. Let's go to Dave in New York, listening online at freetalklive.com. It's Ian and Vincent here in the studio. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, guys.
Oh, my God. Don't yell right into your phone. Hello?
I'm not yelling.
Okay, good. And maybe it was the board op. Go ahead with your thoughts.
There is a vape shop here in the Hudson Valley, which I do have some concerns about.
Really? Okay, what are the concerns?
It's called Happy Habits. Number one, you're not allowed to use your phone in the shop, like in the store. And Number two, you know how say you go to like Best Buy, Target, or Walmart, or whatever, and you put things into your car and you can add things up before you get to the register? Well, at Happy Habits, you can't do that. Everything else is like behind, like it's all like behind the counter or like in these like glass cabinets and so on and so forth. Like, it's not like where you can walk into the store and, you know, grab like a cart or shopping cart or whatever, and, you know, you want to put some stuff into your basket and you can add everything up, and then, you know, say you want to spend maybe $30, $40 or whatever, how many dollars. You can't do that in the store. And with the register, like, they don't show you. It's like, you know how, like, you go to, like, your, like, you know, you can, like, at you know, at, like a
hold on.
A normal...
Did you say that you want a shopping basket at a vape store?
Yes, so that I can be able to, like,
I mean, how many things are you buying at once?
I've bought quite a few stuff there.
Well, for $30 to $40 too, I mean, like a keen, you know, for like a like one thing with e-juice that costs about like $40.
So wait, are you saying Dave that at the vape shop that the products aren't available for you to just take off a shelf? They're locked up?
Basically, yeah, they're like behind the counter or they're like in a cabinet or something,
yeah.
You know.
You know, the reason they do that, as somebody who's worked in retail in my life on a number of occasions, the reason they do that is because it's a security risk. If you just leave a $30, you know, vape products are relatively small. The batteries, you know, you can fit in the palm of your hand in a lot of cases. The little cartridges or whatever are relatively small. These are small items, but I mean, they're not the most expensive items in the world, but adding up, I mean, it does add up if you lose some of these things to what they call shrink in the business. It's stealing. So if somebody, you know, palms one of these things and they put it in their pocket, then how are they going to know? Unless the staff is paying close attention to everybody in the store, it's hard to know those things. So, Dave, this is just a way for them to prevent theft. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah, but like you say, like the incense sticks, they are out in the open. You can get like you can pick up a whole bunch.
That's because those are cheap.
For, like, maybe,
no one wants to steal those.
Like,
yeah,
maybe like 5 or 10 for like a
incense sticks
bucks,
are
you know?
Long, right? Generally, there's those incense holders, and the incense sticks are what, like at least 12 inches, if
and
not
they're fragile too. They
longer.
Break easily.
Yeah, but they're in a box, a lengthy box, and so the average person isn't going to be able to stick that in their pocket. They might be able to shove it down their pants or something like that, but you know, your typical method of stealing something that's lengthy. And again, the products are cheap. Incense is very cheap compared to, say, vaporizers and nicotine juice. So maybe they're just not worried about losing the occasional incense stick, but don't want their $30 or $50 or $100 vaporizers to go walking out the door.
Yeah, but like when I go to like, you know, when I go grocery shopping, I put stuff into my cart and I add everything up, and right before I get to the cash register, I add my total, and you know,
do you really?
Why can't? Yes, I do that all the time. Why can't these vape shops have your habits? And there's one on 55, there's one on Route 9, and there's
you're
one
saying they're all they're saying you're saying they're all alike. They have all the vape shops have similar policies where they lock up their products.
Yeah. And yeah. You can't even use your phone in the shop.
Now,
like,
that's
like,
weird. That I mean, if I'm going to speculate on that one, I would say it's either the owner has a preference against phones. Like, maybe he's bothered by millennials because, you know, it's going to be mostly younger people, I think, that go to these places. But then again, well, I think older folks are finding and discovering vaporizing as well. But either way, you know, whether it's younger people or older folks, people have a habit of being on their phones constantly. You see it everywhere. And some people, it really bothers them. And so if it's his store or her store, whoever owns the store, and if they hate cell phone use, then they can tell their customers, leave the phone in your car.
Or they just don't want customers to look
even
up online with better prices. Sorry, go ahead.
That's probably it.
There are no prices on the site. HappyHabits.com.
It's not a good
site.
There
are no prices on said site.
That's I think, Vincent, you're right about that. That was going to be my other suggestion, is that they don't want you to find out that you can buy the very same product probably for $10 less or whatever on, you know, Amazon or some other website that offers these things and have it shipped to you. You know, and because there is a problem these days with people in the world of retail, with people doing this sort of shopping in real life and then buying the product online. So essentially using the retail establishment as a showroom floor where they go in. The classic example of this is like Best Buy, where somebody would go in the electronics store. They'd go in, they'd pick up the cameras, you know, because they would have the cameras out where you can use them. They'd pick up the camera or whatever the thing is they wanted to look at, or look at the TV that they were considering buying, leave the store, go and order it online and save $20 or $100 or whatever they would save. So, I mean, that's a reality of retail, and I'm sure that's also frustrating to the owner of that store. He's trying to, you know, run a business, and
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, but like, you know... If I want to, you know, get a price of what they're selling inside the store, it's like they should have prices on HappyHabits.com, you know? I don't, like, you have to go there and their products are, like, you know, like behind the counter or they're in the cabinets or maybe on a shelf somewhere.
I don't think there's
like,
anything,
you know,
wrong with that. I think that's a good thing. And also that prevents people from looking up prices as well, right? Like if they're scanning a UPC code or something like that. But that's primarily because of theft. I mean, if people weren't so dishonest, if people weren't stealing things out of stores, then you wouldn't see as much security because, I mean, stores do want their customers to be able to put their hands on products most of the time, unless it's, you know, like some sort of high dollar, you know, value thing that could break if it drops or whatever.
Yeah, but if you go to, like, you know, Target or Walmart, Walgreens, whatever, everything else is right there on the shelf.
That's not true. Not true.
The video games are always behind glass.
Yep.
And guns are. But usually, although in Dave's defense, those do have big price tags on them. So you could tell how much a video game or gun costs from behind the glass.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, well, lots of these stores also have their own online component as well. So they want you to go online and order from them. They don't care whether you order it from the store or not. Thank you, Dave, for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. Hey, if you don't like it, don't shop there. You know, you can get your vape products from somewhere. Oh, wait, no, they all lock them up. Well, you know what? Deal with it. If you don't like it, go online. You can probably get the same stuff cheaper. Vape products are a dime a dozen. There's a bunch of different competitors out there. There are a lot of choices in the world of vaping, at least for now, until the federal government decides to outlaw it and, you know, give the cigarette companies more business. Because cigarette companies are mad as hell about vaping.
Or the hospitals and health nuts. They're the ones who are behind banning the vape. I know that.
That's part of it. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Yeah, Stephen in the D-Live chat says, quit whining. Yeah, it's not going to make anything better for you. 855-450-FREE. We got the Yellow Vest in France coming up on Free Talk Live.
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up, and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Dynovite .com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and you're invited here if you want to join us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Coming up, we got more porn-related news. The UK and their porn block. Turns out it might be banning adult websites, even if you're over 18. We can tell you more about that, but we've also got this news story that I promised that Vincent brought in tonight on the Yellow Vest, the protesters out in France. We'll get into that. Also take your calls and thoughts about whatever's on your mind. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. The Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. is open and available to you. In fact, we're going to go to somebody calling in on Discord here in just a moment. And Dave in New York is in the Discord. This is one of the fun parts about Discord. Is a lot of the people who call the show actually hang out in the Discord and chat with each other. So he's in there right now as TW's best friend. Strange name, but that's what he chose. So if you've been wanting to talk to Dave in New York, now's your chance. Just go to discord.lrn.fm. He's in the on-air now room as we speak. Let's go to your calls and thoughts here. It's Ian and Vincent in the studio. We'll talk to Bo Diddley on the line in South Carolina. Bo, you're on Free Talk Live.
Howdy, y'all.
Hey.
First, I want to say Dave in New York. He's my favorite caller. Been listening to him for years. He had lots of good times.
He is quite unintentionally entertaining, that is for sure.
He brought a good topic with the vapes. I like the vape THC oil, and it's a healthier way of doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Really, I'm seeing some dangerous stuff on the market here.
Really?
It comes packaged. It's called Dank Vapes or Mario Karts. There's other various names that go by, and it's made to look like something legit from a medical state. It's not real THC oil and them things. Some of them could be, but the one I got had K2 in it, I'm pretty sure. And what?
K2, the synthetic compound?
Yes, sir. I'm familiar with it. I don't like it. I know what the effects are, and that's what it seemed like. It was definitely not cannabis.
Whoa. Now, are these on the black market? I mean, you're calling from South Carolina, so you can't just go and buy these in the store, right?
Right, and like I say, they're packaged to look like something legit, but after further research on these two particular brands called Dank Vapes, the other one is called Mario Karts, short for cartridge, you can buy the packaging for these things, the box and the cartridge itself, Amazon or eBay, anywhere online, and there's people buying these things, and they're putting God knows what in it. You could be
getting
the real deal stuff, or you could be getting poisoned.
That's pretty scary stuff. Now, have you actually seen any kind of research online to suggest that someone has actually tested this product?
I haven't seen any actual test results, mm-hmm. but if you type in Dank Vapes online or on YouTube, you will find endless results of people talking about how shady it is.
Wow. Thanks for the heads up on that. Now, what do these things retail for? I mean, what are you paying for them on the black market?
45.
How much?
45 a gram.
45 for a gram. So is that cheaper than what you would pay for an oil cartridge, for a gram oil cartridge of what you know is THC?
It's about the same. Hmm. Yeah, I've got some that I know are THC that are from legit.
Now, how do you know? How do you know that? I mean, if you're buying it on the black market and you have no way of testing it, how is it just the effects that you're using it on yourself and you're saying this feels different? This is not the same product.
Best way to know is to get one that's from a reputable company, mm-hmm. proof seal on a childproof bottle.
Hmm.
And I feel like that's enough that I feel like it's legit.
Bo, thanks for the heads up on that story. I'm sure there's some people who really appreciate the information, and thank you for the call tonight. That's Bo Diddley calling there on Discord, sounding great. And this is one of the problems with the black market. You know, we've talked extensively over years here on Free Talk Live. It's one of my pet topics is the drug black marketplace and ending the war on drugs. And one of the reasons why, you know, the war on drugs needs to come to an end, and I mean the war on all drugs, not just cannabis, but this is a good reason, is people who you care about, your friends, your family members, your coworkers, your neighbors, people who you care about, your loved ones, these are people who are using cannabis. They're using these drugs, and they're not going to stop using them just because you don't like it or whatever. And if they're buying them in the black market, they have no idea what they're getting. There's no quality control. Now, to be fair, it's better now than it's ever been. The black market is better than it's ever been. And the reason for that is because there's so much legally manufactured product that's sort of flowing out the back door of these companies through whatever methods, you know, because the states that have that allow manufacturing of cannabis-related products have some pretty tight controls on the manufacturing process. But, you know, there's always loopholes. There's always, you know, some method of moving product out the back door. And that way those companies or whoever it is, the distributors are able to sell more of them, right? Because if all, you know, if you're in Oregon and you're only allowed to sell to people who are in Oregon legally, well, your marketplace is severely restricted. There are a lot of people in every other state, if not every other country of the world, who would love to buy a good quality cannabis product, but you can't legally ship it out. So if it somehow falls off the back of a truck, and even though it didn't really fall off the back of a truck, you know, it's like, whoops, what happened to that box? We don't know where it went. It just disappeared. Somebody stole it, whatever. It actually just went into your friend's hands, who then distributes it to whoever he distributes it to in whatever states and whatever method, through sending it, you know, selling it on the dark net, or just because they have connections and they know people that need them or want them. There are ways that this happens. And so the quality of what's available in the illegal market is better now because there's just more legal product that overall is a higher quality. These oil cartridges, I've seen them. I know exactly what he's talking about. And they're very popular. And they never existed 20 years ago. You know, when I was your age, Vincent.
Dating yourself very in.
Yeah, all we had. In that case, in you know, back in the old days, back in my day, all we had was weed. You know, we just had the flowers. You were lucky if you came across some kind of other form of it.
Wax or hash.
I think the first time, yeah, they did have hash. Or hash has been around.
I think like BHO, the type where they would use like all sorts of like chemical products in your kitchen to make, and now they have like, I think like the CO2 method to get it out.
Yeah, they've got a better extraction methods now that are purportedly cleaner. So the CO2 is, you know, I'm not a chemist, okay? But it's supposedly a cleaner way of extracting these THC resins or oils or whatever from the actual plant, leaving the plant material behind and leaving the chemicals behind, hopefully, as much as possible, and then putting the final product. But what our caller's pointing out here is you don't know. You know, if you've got a vape pen cartridge, well, unless you've got some sort of testing method, then you have no way of knowing. I mean, Bo's basically saying he just thinks it's different because he feels like, you know, he's used the product and he feels like it's a different effect. He thinks it's similar to K2. And in theory, I suppose that could be true. You know, maybe it's cheaper to manufacture K2 than it is to manufacture legitimate cannabis oil. And so if you can sell the cheaper K2 product at the same price as people are selling the cannabis oil product, but the price of the actual, you know, like the cost to the seller is half, then they're making more money on every single sale. And an unscrupulous seller wouldn't care about, you know, their customer's health and well-being. And it's also possible that many of the sellers don't even know, that they have no idea that what they've bought, because they're being marketed as though they're cannabis. Most people probably think they are cannabis. I mean, K2 was invented to be like the cannabis effects. I've never tried K2 personally, but I did try some synthetic cannabis that Rich had a couple of years ago, and it was the craziest stuff I've ever smoked. Like, it had nothing to do with cannabis. It didn't feel like cannabis at all. It felt like I was tripping after two hits of smoking this purported cannabis knockoff. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. If you want to join us, you can. You can take control of the airwaves here. 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You dial toll free here. Bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450. Free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have the Discord on air call-in line rooms. Just jump on over to the Discord server at discord.lrn.fm, and you can join the discussions going on in there. With you in the studio tonight, by the way, it's Ian.
It's Vincent.
Bitcoin.com. It's your premier source for everything Bitcoin Cash related. Bitcoin.com can help you choose a Bitcoin Cash wallet, buy Bitcoin Cash, and show you where you can spend your Bitcoin Cash. You can also read the latest news or engage with the community on their forum over at Bitcoin.com. Again, that's Bitcoin.com. Of course, we'll take your calls and your thoughts about what you want. As we continue, let's go to Jay calling us, listening to WLOB in the Portland area in Maine. Hello, Jay.
I appreciate you guys having this conversation.
Yeah, please. By the way, I can hear myself in the background, so I don't know if you got some speakers turned up or whatever, but you may want to turn that down. I don't know if it's better, but let's find out. Go ahead.
Like I said, I appreciate having this conversation, you know, especially I grew up with a background from a child growing up on kind of the wrong side of the tracks with the whole drug war, seeing that.
Mm.
And then growing up to be kind of on the other side of it, knowing both worlds, you know, and I hear a conversation of ending the drug war, and I applaud it because, again, it's, you know, it's something that you think that we wouldn't have to have a conversation about, but we do. And
absolutely.
My question really is, how do you make, especially with cannabis and, you know, you have alcohol and the tobacco industry that are going to take losses, and you have other industries that are going to take losses. And even, you know, legalizing hemp, you know, and using that more commonly. There's other industries that are going to take losses. So what? How do we bridge the gap? How do we reach a handout or an olive branch and saying, hey, look, this is, you know, we're here to stay. It's going to, I don't know, like, what's that? Because, again, there's so many people fighting against it because they're going to lose out on money.
You know, so who are you wanting to reach out to, the alcohol companies?
No, I'm saying, like, is there, I mean, because of the people that are invested in it, and you think that they have something to do with legally blocking, you know, these private corporations and things like that, and that the politicians that, you know, have whatever reason why it's not legal now.
Okay, so to just say it is a little too nebulous for this conversation, right? Like, there's different drugs that are illegal. While we might agree that the entire war on drugs should be ended, somebody's going to have a different reason why they think cannabis should be illegal versus why, you know, they think psychedelics, right, like LSD or you know, psilocybin mushrooms should be made illegal. So are we specifically talking about what should we focus on here, I guess?
Well, I mean, being that we have cannabis, it's right there at the forefront. I mean, I think we take that and run with that because that looks like it's going to come sooner, and maybe even start with the decriminalization of the other drugs, you know, and not having them, you know, getting rid of these, you know, again, I think stories have been, probably heard them and seen them too, of, you know, of these babies being born, you know, that are born on heroin or born on any other type of drug. you know, and they wean them off. And you have other countries that help people, and they have, you know, you see it in even in the States, and you have, you know, rehab clinics and things like that, and not making it to where you're going to go to prison. You know, unless, yeah. I mean, Grant, have common sense laws, obviously, if you're caught for, you know, massive distribution, then yes, there's going to be consequences to that. You know, but for someone who actually has a problem and is, you know, struggling with that substance abuse, than not having them be a criminal for that. You know,
yeah.
What I mean?
Oh, no, I totally agree. In fact, you know, the classic example that we've given here over the years is Portugal, where they have actually decriminalized possession of all drugs for small amounts. So individual personal amounts. So, you know, not pounds and pounds, but, you know, just a little bit is decriminalized. And the worst case, if you get caught with it, may result in, you know, having to go to some kind of a treatment, but you don't get criminal charges. You don't end up going to jail. This is a long, arduous, frustrating process of trying to change these things. And I say that from next door to you. We're in New Hampshire, where we're doing the show from. Maine's ahead of the curve as far as, you know, Maine, Massachusetts, Vermont, several other states around the country have actually legalized cannabis at various different levels, and New Hampshire still has just done decrim. And it is frustrating to go in and talk to these politicians and listen to the, you know, the prohibitionist side and hear all the lies continuing to be trotted out, the reefer madness, the BS, the propaganda, the nonsense, and just and having it refuted year after year after year with facts and evidence and personal you know, examples and stories, and, you know, very persuasive stories in a lot of cases, like with medical patients. And yet still seeing politicians and these opposition pro-drug war people just continuing to stick their feet in the sand and ignore what their neighbors
stick
want.
Stick their head in the sand, Ian.
Yeah, right. Well, both, but yeah.
And then my question that too is, like, is that intentional, or is that just pure ignorance, or is that...
It's, you know, both.
Well, and that's what I think too, because I have, you know, I've lived in many states all over the country, and so I've been able to see different cultures and regions and things like that, and especially in the Midwest, where they're so still just backward way of thinking in a lot of areas. I mean, you find that everywhere, but, you know, a lot in the Midwest, you know. I can see them now linking arms and saying no to pot and the drugs and this, you know, and especially in a place where you have so much space to grow such a abundance of, you know, this plant, and not even to smoke. And that's the thing. They just think, oh, you're just going to smoke, you know, it's like, well, even hemp, they're like, oh, you're just going to smoke it. Well, no, we can make, you know, and you have to explain them that what the purpose is, yep, and what the uses of this plant are, and for how many years. And it's like you said, they still refute it. And, you know, we have evidence historically and culturally around the world since the beginning of recorded time. It's like, what is, you know, where is that blindness? When does that stop? You know, when is the curtain lifted on these,
man,
people?
You know, as somebody who's been paying attention for a while, it is frustrating. I totally agree with what you're saying here. But I have to ask you, I mean, being somebody living in Maine, where a couple of years ago Maine voters did vote, was it 2016? Mm-hmm. I think they voted
to. It's encouraging. It's so encouraging.
Well, tell me, what's the situation there? I heard that there's no retail yet. What's happening?
I haven't seen any retail yet. No, I think it's coming, mm-hmm, with the new administration. I see it coming. More people are getting ready for it and gearing up.
Have you heard about the delivery services? Because I remember reading an article after the ballot measure passed that at that point you couldn't legally sell it, but what was happening was that people were selling delivery, meaning that you could call up a guy on a bicycle or whatever, and you know, he shows up with a bag full of weed, and you pay the delivery fee, so you're paying him for the delivery, but you're not paying for the product. And there was I didn't ever see anything about the police arresting those people. Have you number one seen or heard of these services? Have you used them? Have you heard of any of them being busted?
No, I haven't heard. I haven't used them. I've seen them. I've heard of them. I know that they're out there. I mean, they're out there on social media. They're using print. I mean, I remember grabbing one of the local papers. Yeah, you know, local small town papers. And on the back of it, I didn't catch it at first, and it was for a company. I can't remember the name of it.
but it was during Christmas time, and it had Santa with a sleigh full of buds.
One call does it all. Hey, Jay, thanks for the call tonight, man. It's going to be a process of just sharing the truth with people and hoping they pay attention and hoping they listen, and I thank you. And we'll continue. More on the way here, and maybe psychedelic mushrooms are going to be next.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up 2 bottles of Lico Chops. Get the 3rd bottle free.
New improved Lico Chops with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try Lico Chops. Buy 2, get 1 free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Free Talk Live, you dial in toll free and bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. It's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Vincent.
And, of course, you can join us online. We've got a lot of features on our website. Just head over to freetalklive.com. Where you can sign up for our email list. You can get on that list pretty easy to do. It's right there toward the top of the website, the main page over at freetalklive.com. Just drop your email in there, and then we'll email you usually on about a weekly basis. Just keep you in the loop with what's going on with Free Talk Live. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. As we continue, of course, you can bring up anything that you want. And I want to make sure that you know about liberty.menu. It is for individuals who reject the initiation of force and who agree to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle. So if that doesn't describe you, I'm sorry, but you won't be able to benefit from liberty.menu. But if it does describe you, then you can go there and put up whatever it is that you want as far as the things that you do. You want to promote your business, maybe the event that you're into. Maybe you've got digital content that you want people to know about. This is a libertarian business directory, and it's free to use at liberty.menu. That's liberty.menu. As we continue, we'll take your calls and thoughts. We were talking about the war on drugs. I didn't bring it in as a topic tonight, but it came up, and it is something that I know that every host on this show wants to see come to an end. In fact, we're seeing some major progress in the area of cannabis reform. There's no doubt about that. I mean, that almost feels like at this point, finally, it feels like it's inevitable. For a long time, it felt there was no brightness on the horizon for that, and now there finally is. But the rest of the drugs are still criminal in every single state in the United States. It's still illegal to have every other, so-called illicit drug, whether they be helpful, like MDMA or psychedelic mushrooms, for instance, which we're now seeing trials, clinical scientific studies showing that people who have things like PTSD, for instance, have actually had it cured by using these things in a therapeutic setting. Like, that's huge. Now, it's true that the studies are relatively small as far as the amount of people that they're looking at. Have you seen any of these?
I've seen headlines. I mean, in my personal experience, I've seen it work definitely.
I don't know if you want to talk about that, but I've definitely done psychedelic drugs over time. I don't do them very often, but every now and then, I will and have, and I think that it's been a benefit to my life personally. I've never claimed to have had anything like PTSD or anything, but for the people who have. Who've seen the symptoms go away after using these things, and again, usually in a therapeutic setting, like with a psychiatrist or psychologist.
Well, even without one, even with just
you've had benefits, is what you're saying.
I've seen benefits in my experience. Right. I've seen it happen,
and now we are seeing a couple of places. I think Denver, Colorado, is one of them. And then I believe it was the state of Oregon where there's a ballot measure that is being proposed to actually legalize mushrooms, like psychedelic psilocybin mushrooms, for medicinal purposes, which would be amazing if that could happen, because the more that we can learn about these things, the more testing can be done.
It could be a positive example for others in the future.
Absolutely. Look, the fact is the critics were right. The critics of marijuana medical decrim, right? The medical programs came first in California in 1996, passed Proposition 215 to legalize medicinal marijuana, and it opened the floodgates for legal products manufactured in a quality controlled environment, available in a legal, easy to acquire way. You don't have to meet somebody in a parking lot anymore. You know, they could just go into a store, have a nice shopping experience, talk to people who know what they're talking about, experts on the subject that, you know, want to get product into people's hands. And, the critics at the time had said, well, this is just a cover. This is just so people can get high. And you know what? For some people, that's probably true. But there are actually people who benefit medicinally from these products, from cannabis, and benefit in a major way, in a very persuasive way, that where if you put these sick people in front of politicians, even the most callous of politicians would have to acknowledge that these people who are getting help from these products are real, that it's not just BS, that you can see their symptoms either lessen or go away entirely from whatever malady it is that they have. In a lot of cases, after just one hit of smoked cannabis. So they're not smoking enough to get really baked or whatever. They're just taking one hit, just enough to get the chemical that they need, and it makes a difference for them. So these are persuasive things. And the same thing can happen with psychedelic mushrooms, where we can have more evidence. If one state legalizes it for medicinal purposes, that means that more studies can be done there on that particular product and people that have something wrong with them, and see if this thing helps for other problems that people have. And of course, the conspiracy theorist might say, and they might be right, that one of the reasons why these drugs are illegal is to keep them out of people's hands so they have to stay on pharmaceutical drugs.
Oh, but what do you mean conspiracy theorist? It's a conspiracy, it ain't a theory, and I said that on my show last week.
Well, you may be a conspiracy theorist.
Hey, they're conspiracies, but they ain't theories.
Well, that's probably true. I believe that one of the major reasons why drugs like psychedelic mushrooms, which grow in, cow poo, they can be found in the world. It's not like there's some sort of drug lab necessarily.
No, it's totally natural, just as natural as daisies.
Yeah, and arguably, people in the past have used these things and have had very religious, mystical experiences on them, and have had very positive experiences on them. And some of the revelations that people might receive from having a psychedelic journey like that could very well call into question sort of the social order, if you will, right? The status quo may be questioned. Maybe the idea that, for instance, everything is separate, that we're, all separated on this this earth platform.
Oh, no, I'd say more of just the introspection and just like the different kinds of thinking, breaking things down, not the one, that sort of thing.
If you did believe that everybody was connected, then maybe you'd be less likely to want to bomb those people, right? Like if you felt as though you were inherently connected to them. But no, you're right. The introspection is huge when it comes to a psychedelic journey, being able to look at your life from a different perspective, for instance, being able to consider things that you've always thought were one way from a different perspective, like the government itself, for instance. You know, there are things that the government goons, the government thugs,
the government mafia,
there are things that they don't want you to consider. They don't want you to think about. They don't want you to think outside of the box. And these psychedelic drugs, and by the way, marijuana is considered a mild psychedelic, this, if it puts you outside of the government box, that's dangerous to them. And they don't want that happening. So I will, we will continue to advocate for the end of the war on drugs here. And in fact, over the years, Vincent, the amount of opposition has gone down. Like, if we got on the air and talked about ending the war on drugs 15 years ago, we would have more people calling in to oppose us. Now, that's not to say those people aren't still out there, but there may not be as many of them.
They're all dying or in retirement homes.
Do you feel like there aren't very many drug warriors who are your age?
Well, there's a lot of like, that's a very interesting question. I mean, there are some people who are like prudes or who are just like such goody two shoes to the state that then they'd like freak out or like, you know, call the police on someone who just like, you know, mentions it or smells like weed. But I don't. Yeah, but that's a good question because I haven't met any either who aren't a bunch of old curmudgeons or like, you know, police officers or teachers or anything.
Well, the police officers have a vested interest in the war on drugs. They love all the freebies that they get. They love the money from the federal government.
They probably love the drugs they're able to confiscate.
That's probably true. They love to either sell them on the black market or use them themselves or both. The toll-free number, and that's not just cynicism. I've known people. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733.
Evidence locker parties.
Yep. 855-450-FREE. Whoops, where'd all that cocaine go? yeah, you can bring up whatever you want here. Take control of the airwaves and also jump into the Discord chat rooms, discord.lrn.fm. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything that you want here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've also got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms at discord.lrn.fm. And don't forget, you can watch us online now on the DLive platform. We are suspended from Twitch. And I've yet to hear back from Twitch in regards to, you know, more details as to what ostensibly happened. They claimed there was nudity on our stream, which, you know, definitely did not happen as far as I can tell. Now, Aria DiMezzo, the anarchist she-male, was topless on Tuesday night, but I don't consider that to be nudity. So I'd like to know what Twitch considers to be nudity. I presume they're going to say that that was nudity, but I would like to get that as, you know, an official response from them. Anyway, go check out our DLive stream over at dlive.lrn.fm. It's Ian and Vincent in the studio here tonight, dlive.lrn.fm. People are in there watching right now, and there's a chat room in there as well, which is a different chat room than you'll get on our Discord servers at discord.lrn.fm. In fact, that's where we're going right now, where Vaginatarian is on the line. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. You were talking about the psilocybin mushroom in a vote in Denver, and I just voted for that, so I wanted to call in because it's actually not medicinal. It was a really interesting ordinance. It says that it's going to make the personal use and personal possession of psilocybin mushrooms by persons 21 years or older the city's lowest law enforcement priority.
Huh. Oh, wow.
So it didn't even sound like a decriminalization.
That's pretty impressive. Maybe it was Oregon that was doing the actual medical proposal. I think that was the one.
Yeah. It also prohibits the city of Denver from spending resources to impose criminal penalties for their personal use and possession. So that's more along the lines. But I did.
Oh, so not only is it the lowest enforcement priority, but they can't even spend any money to prosecute?
Supposedly. That's what the ordinance says, and I voted for it. And it was also the first time that Denver instituted a blockchain option for voting.
Really? Did it pass? When did this happen?
It hasn't. The voting is still ongoing. I get distance voting since I no longer live in Colorado, and then they give you the option to utilize their blockchain app in order to do it. And then sometime in May, I'm supposed to do a survey to say, like, how was the blockchain app? How was the process? How can we improve it and things like that? Yeah.
See, I was going to ask you because you always call from like Virginia and I think Florida the last time. So I was wondering how you were voting in Denver.
I keep it crazy. But yeah, I'm a registered voter in Denver. And so I voted for the pot when that happened. And then I saw the psilocybin pop up and I was really excited to see Colorado's usually on the forefront when it comes to drugs. So I'm hoping we keep it up.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, this online blockchain voting, what's the app called?
It's called Votes, V-O-A-T-Z.
Huh.
Yeah. And they used it overseas in Europe, I believe. And then there's a couple of states that it's been used in as well, because I tried to do some research on it before I just, you know, adopted a blockchain, especially for voting and providing my social and my ID and stuff like that. But it seems to have been used to success in all these other locations. So,
is Dave hitting on you in the chat room?
Is he back in the chat room?
Oh, I don't know. I'm reading from like an hour ago.
He was asking ASL earlier.
Age, sex, what's the L?
Location.
Location, okay. Yeah, I see here he says he's 42 and in New York. So, all right, anything else you want to share about your experience there in Denver?
No, I just wanted to comment on that it was interesting that it's not medicinal. It was just almost a line of decriminalization, and I enjoyed that they said it would be the city's lowest priority.
Awesome. Thanks for the update on that. I appreciate the correction. That's Vaginatarian there. She's one of the regular chatters in our Discord server. Just head over to discord.lrn.fm, and you can talk to folks like her and Gene the Christian Anarchist and Dave in New York, apparently is in there tonight. Ian and Vincent here in the studio with you. Let's continue with your calls and thoughts. We'll go to Dodger listening in Michigan. Dodger, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hello. First off, there was a gentleman a couple segments ago who collectivized Midwesterners. Now, being from Michigan, we're technically a Midwestern state, mm-hmm. and I kind of resent that.
What was the collective statement that you're objecting to?
I forgot. But,
so he said something along he said something along the lines of they have a lot of backwards thinking there, and I did think about interjecting, saying, "Hey, look, you know, it's being living in all over the country and being in New England. There's plenty of people in New England who have really backward ideas on many things too." So, sure. Yeah, it just shows, you know, there's bad people all over.
I'm just gonna say, you know, Michigan technically is a Midwestern state, probably the most eastward of them. However, it was the first state to legalize cannabis for medicinal use, as well as the first Midwestern state to.
You mean the first Midwestern state? The first Midwestern state. Okay. Yes. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys just did recreational.
State. Yeah. Yes. Which makes me very happy, but that's not the reason I called, because
well, before you go on with the reason you called, have they opened up any shops? Like, are there stores in Michigan yet, or is that still like down the road a ways, like for cannabis?
Right now, the only technical shop in the metro area that I live in sold medicinal first. And actually, I mean, I have a whole story about how that guy, I went to high school with him. I don't have time to tell the story about how he is, like lobbying to essentially keep himself being the top dog.
That's sad.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Just like how the medical facilities in California lobbied against recreational because they wanted prices to stay high.
Well, and he wants to lobby essentially that everything has to be in order to be sold recreational, has to be tested. Yes, ma'am.
Oh.
Technically that stuff has to be tested in order to be sold recreationally.
Yeah.
And so.
So what were you calling about tonight?
Of course.
Hello? Do we lose you? Dodger?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were like taking a big puff on blunt or something like that.
No. No.
What were you calling
that
about?
Actually makes me really sad. What I'm calling about is actually something that our last governor did that for some reason completely slipped through my lap, and it actually makes me very happy. Our last governor, one of the last acts that he did was he forgave driver responsibility fees here in Michigan.
Driver responsibility fees.
Sarah would love those.
What do you mean, driver responsibility? Meaning like people who got a ticket, or what does that mean?
Well, a essentially, what it came down to was if you got a ticket, if you got pulled over for a variety of different things, not only did you have to pay the fees to the court, you had to pay an additional, what they called a driver responsibility fee.
To the DMV,
the Michigan Department of Treasury.
Oh, to the Treasury.
And so, essentially, what it did was it made it pretty much impossible for. I'm not poor. I've always had decent jobs, but I just decided to quit paying it at one point because I refused to get a driver's license. But like, for example,
so if you didn't pay the fee, then they wouldn't renew your driver's license or something. You'd be suspended, basically.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And one of the last things that our last governor did,
it doesn't matter who it was, dude.
Rick Snyder.
I don't know who that is. I mean, there's one politician to the next, but it sounds like a good thing. Any amount of waiving fees that are due to give people an easier time and, you know, get them out from underneath whatever burden of taxes.
He was probably tired of paying them himself.
He sounded tired. Thanks, Dodger,
for
the call.
I'm talking about the governor.
Oh, okay, but Dodger sounded a little sleepy, maybe a little stoned. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're coming up here in moments. 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Hour 3's next, Free Talk Live.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
It is Free Talk Live, hour number 3. We're kicking it off right now. We got the latest on the Yellow Vest situation that Vincent has brought in to share with us tonight. The toll-free number, if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We also have the Discord on-air call-in line rooms at discord.lrn.fm, where you can sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. As we continue, we'll take more of your calls and thoughts. If we get the chance, we'll tell you about the porn ban that may be hitting the UK very soon. But first, to your calls and thoughts. Tom is in New Hampshire to kick things off this hour. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, before I get to the point I called about, I want to mention something about these any clinical trials, clinical studies that you read about. Hmm. And they say, let's say that something is effective and that it works. And then along comes another trial, and it says that it doesn't reproduce those results. The difference isn't statistically significant. Well, maybe the first trial had a larger sample, and that's why, you know, a 10% difference was statistically significant. And then the smaller trial, it comes up with the same results, except that with a smaller sample, it's not statistically significant. That doesn't disprove the first trial. Okay, so just so people keep that in mind when they're reading about this, and they tell lawmakers about it when they go to a committee meeting to testify about the clinical trial. But the point I'm called to make about is about bikers, and anybody who knows anybody in a motorcycle gang can remind them tomorrow.
I don't know anyone in a motorcycle gang. Do you?
But the people who are in motorcycle gangs are down at the bar on Saturday nights. So you tell them on Sunday to download the episode off freetalklive.com and hear Tom mention something about, I liked what they did in New Zealand guarding those mosques was a great idea. Hell's Angels and some of the other gangs.
Is that what happened? The Hell's Angels went out to guard the mosques?
Yeah, they went over and they patrolled outside unarmed and everything. And I think, you know, what they can do is find out where females are being held in sexual slavery in brothels, forced into prostitution in the United States. And they can either simply picket right outside the building, and what is the pimp going to do? They can free the slaves that way, or simply you have to have a place where they can go to, a safe house where they can go to, or a drug rehab place where they can go to if they're hooked on
cocaine. I don't know how easy it is to just find somebody who's being held in sex slavery. I mean, if somebody's being held against their will, they're probably not able to, like, pick up a phone and make a phone call or send a text.
But you can walk in there like you're one of the customers. Or uh-huh. And once they open the door and you find out where this is happening, once you find this
I don't
out,
know. I don't know a whole lot about sex slavery, Tom. I don't know. Maybe you do, but I'm not sure that they necessarily advertise to their customers that this person is being held against their will.
Well, these motorcycle gangs have alleged ties to organized crime and do alleged crime. So I'm sure mm-hmm. it wouldn't be too difficult for, like, I think in some cases they allegedly peddle crystal meth. So, I mean, if someone's, you know, in the drug dealing business, they could easily say, look, I need, you know, I need a sex slave. Where can I find one? So they could
maybe
they could use those connections.
I mean, I guess it is all about who you know. So that's a good point. And Tom, if what you're saying actually happened, that'd be great. I mean, who would object to freeing people from any kind of bondage or sex slavery, anything that they're being forced to do against their will? Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. But, you know, as I understand it, and again, I don't know a whole lot about slavery or enslaving humans, but the classic example is they take some girl or whatever and they tell her, look, if you run, we're going to kill your mother or we're going to kill your little sister or whatever. They're like, we know where you live and we're going to hurt your family if you run. Because they can't be with them at all times, right? Like if they're selling them as a if they're selling them into prostitution, the client probably doesn't want some big burly man sitting in the corner watching the entire time. So there's probably, you know, some time where they're away from their captor, or at the very least the captor is outside waiting, or, you know, in the car or something like that, to where they could, if they wanted to make a break for it, they could run. But the reason why they don't is because they've been threatened. They've been told, you might be able to get away, but if you do, we're going to kill your dad. You know, that kind of thing. And that's usually enough to keep somebody in line, because most people care about their family, and so they don't want to see them harm being brought to them. They believe the threats. These people are dangerous, crazy, you know, lunatics who absolutely will act on the things that they say they're going to do. And so the girl keeps her mouth shut. She doesn't tell the client. She doesn't try to run. So I don't feel like you would necessarily know if you were a person buying prostitution services if that person was a slave. Now, they could say something to you, in which case then you could try to help that person in some way, shape, or form.
Or over time, they get exported to, like, a different country, and they have no way of getting back. And
or maybe can't even speak the language in that case, right? So if you want to join us here, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Let's go to, speaking of speaking different languages in other countries, France, where the Yellow Vest protests have been going on What, since December, November? It feels
like... Yes, and since the fall, definitely.
Yeah, it feels like several
months.
More
than 20 weeks now.
So almost half a year, these thousands of people have been in the streets in France. I think it's weekends for the most part.
Yeah, because they're working. They work during the week because, you know, it's a working class thing, and then they show up and protest.
Right, which is interesting because... you know, it's different from what happened here in the United States with the Wall Street protests. Remember those?
Yeah. And a lot of like agitators or protesters, you know, just don't have day jobs, usually like Antifa or anything. That's why they're able to go around and attack people.
I'm spacing on the name of what that was.
What, Occupy Wall
Street? Occupy, that's what it was, Occupy. The Occupy movement, you know, it had to fizzle out at some point because they were there 24/7. Now, you know, some people probably came and went, but the core group of the protesters was there constantly. They're camping out in the park. And at some point, you're going to run out of money. You know, you got to get some more funding somehow. And unless George Soros is bankrolling you or whatever, then at some point, you got to go back to work. So I think that what they're doing
in France. Or just go back to the flop house.
Well,
you know, I doubt. A I mean, lot. I don't know. I doubt they worked.
Somebody's got to buy their. They got to buy their food somehow. Maybe they're getting a welfare check.
Yeah, yeah.
But either way, you know, you still got to leave to go to the bank to get the welfare check cashed, and you know, whatever. So I think that what they've done here in France is a much more sustainable model of continued ongoing protests, where they're only weekends, and the fact that they're only there on weekends allows them to work and continue to feed their families and get responsible things done, be productive people. But at the same time, it allows them to focus their protesting energy at one specific time. And obviously, it has done nothing to harm their publicity. They're getting publicity internationally constantly about what they're doing. So, I mean, it seems to me that this whole let's do it every weekend thing, weekend warrior, weekend protester thing, seems like a real good strategy. Because they've kept up the momentum.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm surprised it's gone on this long. And
me
when
too.
They say they've had, like, bad weeks, there's still tens of thousands of people showing
bad
up.
Bad as far as not as many as they
yeah.
would like.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like, the most, I think the peak was, like, 250,000, excuse me, 250,000.
And that's a spread across different cities? Is it happening in different geographic
oh, yeah.
areas
yeah,
in
yeah.
France?
It's mainly folk, or I mean, like, Paris is the place that gets the most attention because that's where
sure.
your Macron is. But it's, the hotbed of it is in southern France because that's more of like a rural working class sort of place there, compared mm-hmm. to the north. So this is from the Guardian.com. So Macron responds to Gilets Jaunes, which is French for yellow vest, protests with 5 billion euro tax cuts.
Gilets Jaunes?
Gilets Jaunes, way.
Okay.
The Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, has vowed to
which
make...
one of those words is yellow?
Jaune.
Jaune? Okay, gotcha.
Has vowed to make his style of politics more, quote, humane, but insisted he would press on with his project to liberalize the French economy and overhaul its welfare state, despite 5 months of demonstrations by Gilets Jaunes, anti-government protesters. And, you know...
Are they, though?
Well, I mean, they're anti his government. I mean,
yeah.
you can't really speak to what... It's like a big consortium
right.
of different...
Right, it's
you know,
so big... That the movement is so, you know, wide-cutting that there are people within it that don't have the same views.
Absolutely. But they,
and that
you know,
was true with Occupy as well.
We're all being targeted by the same guy. And it's funny they say humane because he deployed, like, army units. He deployed EU army, you know, SWAT and everything.
They brought the EU
people.
Army in?
Yeah, yeah. Some sort of international unit I've seen.
We continue here with more from the story on the latest from the Yellow Jacket protesters, Yellow Vesters. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And you can take control of the airwaves here. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything that you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Tonight, it's Ian.
It's Vincent.
And, of course, you can bring up anything you want. Don't forget to check out Vincent on his show, Questioning Authority, Thursday and Saturday nights here on, well, not here, but on LRN.FM, which is the Liberty Radio Network. It broadcasts from this studio. If you're listening on the radio, you probably won't hear it because it's not syndicated on broadcast radio, and nor could it be syndicated because, well...
Not in this country.
You
least.
Don't hold back with the language on questioning authority. That's
no, absolutely
sure.
not. None of these arbitrary rules or these, you know, mental blinders, just full-on truth and realness.
Where can folks go to download episodes?
You can go on Media? To shirefreemedia.com/show.
ShireFreeMedia.com. Is there a link from the front page, though, if they go to the front page? They'll be
oh,
able
yeah,
to,
yeah,
be able
yeah,
to find
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can see
yeah,
it.
You always want to keep your URL as short as possible. So ShireFreeMedia.com. Check out more of Vincent there. And I heard you're putting up your broadcast radio show, too, where you're actually
yeah,
like crisp, like squeaky clean.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, as clean as I could get it. But yeah, I haven't gotten in trouble yet.
Good to know. Check him out there as we continue with your calls and thoughts. We got more on the yellow vest protesters in France. But first, to your calls and thoughts. Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yes. The man in Texas, he finally got executed. And
the man in Texas finally got executed. What are we talking about here?
Which one?
Okay, well, the I was going to get to that.
Okay.
The man who dragged a black man behind a truck 3 miles tied to a rope.
Oh, wow. I remember that story. That was from like a decade or two ago? It seems really like a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember that too. I said, that's pretty gruesome and that's pretty racist. It was 25 years ago?
Wow.
It took him that long to prove that he was guilty, I suppose. And he got executed yesterday.
Wow.
So,
Sarah, with the breaking news. Thanks for the heads up on that. That's an interesting update. What do you think about it?
Well, you know what? It was a very dumb thing to do. How could somebody do that in the state of Texas? They've executed like 550 people since they started executing.
Oh, that's right. You don't understand that like punitive penalties don't actually stop crime. You're bewildered as to why someone would commit a crime like that in a state in which they have the death penalty, because you believe the death penalty actually stops crime from happening.
I mean, murder from happening, or reduce it, because I think Texas had the death. I mean, they had no executions for about a while, and then they started back up like 30 years ago.
Texas is one of the most executing estates, from what I understand.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Since they started, they executed like about 570 people.
Well,
now,
I mean, my God, how many more people do they need to execute before people stop murdering each other, Sarah?
Well, I mean, but I think that's why I say this guy was dumb. Because how can you do that in the state of Texas when you've seen like 600 people get executed?
He probably thought he wouldn't get caught.
He's probably dumb. I mean, I'll give Sarah that. He's probably a moron. I mean, you wouldn't get caught for dragging somebody behind your truck.
Well, I mean, people don't commit crimes with the intention of getting caught unless...
No, that's generally true.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, he probably just, you know, thought that nothing would happen. And...
But either way, Sarah, this is evidence to help prove that the fact is the death penalty does not reduce crime. That is not something that goes through people's minds when they are committing crime.
Well, I mean, you know, he does deserve it, because this is racial.
So you believe in eye for an eye?
No, she believes he should be killed because he was racial, because he was a quote,
if he had dragged, hold on, if he had dragged a white person behind his truck to death, would that be okay with you?
Well, no, he should be put the same.
Okay, so you're saying it's the same crime.
You're so mad about, look at, you're so mad at black man got choked to death because he's selling Lucy.
I'm mad that anyone gets choked to death. It doesn't matter to me if he's black or white or Asian or whatever his skin color is. You're referring to the man who was choked to death by the police in, I think it was New York City, for selling loose cigarettes within the last few years. Maybe it was several years ago.
Eric Garner,
yeah. I don't care what his skin color is. I care that he is had his life extinguished from him for selling something to another human being.
Yeah, but why is it okay for somebody to drag a person behind a truck 3 miles with a rope? And
who said it was okay?
But what do you think he should deserve? What do you think happened to him?
Okay, so
what is your penalty?
I'll give you an answer here, Sarah. This is something that is you've asked a really good question, because a lot of people feel like the punitive sentences the government hands out is the only way it can be, and we got to put people in cages, and we've got to put them to death, bring out the firing squad, hang them high, bring out the public executions. And it's just bloodlust. The answer is restitution. Now, obviously, you cannot restitute somebody who you've killed. Okay, so that's one thing that, you know, what you can do is you can restitute the people that are now have a less beneficial life. They have, let's say he had a family. Okay, so let's say this victim had kids. Now they don't have a father to earn money for them. Well, that's worth something. Whatever that dad was bringing in income every year, that's now been wiped away from that family's revenue. So that should be something that the wife or the kids in that case receive from the person who caused the problem. How about the person who was employing that guy? You know, maybe he was a key man at a business. Maybe he was the person. Huh?
Well, this month out in Albuquerque, I think we had like 13 homicides in 1 month,
uh-huh,
just because it warmed up. And most of it is teenagers. And
okay,
your solution of this restitution is a bunch of nonsense.
Why?
You've got to get executions back here in New Mexico.
You are the most bloodthirsty communist that has called this show.
Although I guess that's
the truth for a lot of communists, right? They just don't call the show.
Yeah.
Okay, why do you think they had executions back in Texas? Because it was really out of control. Well, they have less murders now since they have executions. And we
is that true, or are you just making that up?
Well, I'm pretty sure that's a stat.
Oh, how would you know? It's not like you've researched it.
Neither have you, Ian. To be fair,
I didn't claim anything. I just asked her if that was true, and she says she believes.
Well, no, yeah, you did claim something. You said that it didn't do anything to prevent.
I'm saying generally, punitive punishments like the death penalty do not factor into criminals' decisions to commit their crimes. That's generally true.
Here in New Mexico, our murder rate has jumped way up.
Mm-hmm.
I think January to April.
Well, plus correlation is not causation. Are you telling me, Sarah, that you don't think that the victim's family of a murder, the murder victim's family, they shouldn't get any kind of compensation from the victim, that they should just be SOL, that they're screwed?
I did not understand what you're talking about. I said our murder went up.
You're not listening. Okay.
Execution was repealed.
You're not listening. You can't understand things if you're not actually listening. If you're talking, you can't be listening. So I told you about restitution, and I asked you if a family would be better off if they got some money out of these killers.
What money? Most of these are bums.
Thank you for the call tonight. The idea would be they would work to restitute their victims.
So then they'd just be put in slavery instead. Very nice, Ian.
855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. No, they could sit in a cold cell, you know, without working. It's free talk.
Did you know you can legally exit the U.S. federal income tax system? Well, it's true, and thousands of American nationals are doing it. The 16th Amendment and the Internal Revenue Code are legal, but only in a limited jurisdiction. This is the basis behind the voluntary nature of the income tax. Learn the exit strategy provided by Congress. Find out more by visiting WeissParis.com and watch our numerous videos. That's WeissParis.com.
Free Talk Live. Dial toll free. Bring up what you want. Our number is 855-450. Free like freedom. 855-450-FREE. We've also got the Discord on air call-in line rooms at discord.lrn.fm. I used AnyPay today when I went out to get some breakfast with you. Actually, Vincent, we were out at one of the local watering holes that also sells some food. And I used AnyPay because they have AnyPay on their tablet that they use to accept payments in cryptocurrency. And they take different crypto, so if you want to pay with Bitcoin, why anyone would want to do that with the fees the way they are with Bitcoin, at Thirsty Owl, they take Dash and also Bitcoin Cash, and it's super easy. AnyPay makes it as easy as it can be. Really. It's even easier now than I thought it was. You don't even need a login now with AnyPay. Just go to helpmetakebitcoin.com. They'll walk you through the process. If you have a business, if you've got a mom and pop bricks and mortar retail establishment, and you want to start taking cryptocurrencies like Dash, Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Zcash, and more at your register, they make it easy. And they've got an app for both iOS and Android devices. Helpmetakebitcoin.com. It was literally 2 seconds between when I sent the payment and when it showed paid on the register screen there. Helpmetakebitcoin.com. As we continue, your calls and thoughts are welcome. Just a few more thoughts on restitution, because it is an idea that seems foreign to some folks, and I can't say I would know exactly how it would work. In fact, Vincent, you were being critical of the idea, and it's important to be critical. It's important to be skeptical of these things. It's hard to say what would happen in the absence of a one-size-fits-all government monopoly so-called justice system, but I think one thing that a lot of us can agree on is that the justice system sucks, that it's not very just, that a lot of people who deserve worse don't get it, and a lot of people who deserve better get worse. I mean, it's just a messed-up system.
Oh, it's totally two-tiered. If you have money and or three-tiered, I suppose. If you have money or influence or a politician, you can literally get away with murder and anything.
So what are the tiers? There's no money, no influence, money and influence, and then politician?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, you know, you have rich people like Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman, you know, with the college admission scandal.
Yeah.
They got caught because it was the government who was doing the investigation. So they got caught, even though they're all, you know, millionaires. and like, you know, Bernie Madoff. So in some cases, mm-hmm. we're not totally immune. But then in this case, in the third tier, you have like the politicians like Obama, Mueller, Hillary Clinton, who they've all done things that they should at least be investigated in at the very least. Yeah. And nothing happened. They had, what was it? Clinton was, they had to make up something. It's like she, not negligence, but it was something like, I forget exactly what, but you know, any other person with a whole email scandal would have gone to jail. And yeah, so that's why Sean Hannity calls it a two-tier system, but you know, it's he's in one of the tiers. Yeah, he's in one of the tiers. So I'd say it's a three-tier system.
So restitution actually gives the victim some kind of compensation. Now, look, if your loved one is murdered, obviously no amount of money is going to solve that problem. It's not going to make things right, but it's something. Whereas right now, the victims get nothing. You just get somebody dead. And then, not only are you getting nothing, but you're then forced to pay to incarcerate the very person who did the crime. So you're victimized twice. You're victimized by the fact that you lost your loved one or whatever other the crime might have been against you, the damage to your property or whatever. And then you're victimized a second time by the state in order to fund their prison, their crappy prison system. So any form of restitution is better than none. Now, how do you incentivize a prisoner to actually work to pay off their victims? Well, first of all, if it was a crime of passion in the moment, not like a premeditated murder, because most murders are, as I understand it, crimes of passion, not premeditated. But if it was a crime of passion, maybe they're sorry. Maybe they're legitimately sorry for what they've done and they want to make right. Maybe they want to actually provide the restitution. For the people who are not sorry, then, you know, you'd have to ask the question, how do you incentivize their behavior? Well, life could be uncomfortable for them. They could have like the bare minimum kind of survival circumstances where they get the crappiest food, a dank cell, you know, not a nice place to stay. Whereas it's like, hey, if you want to go and work over here, then you get a nicer cell and you get better food. I mean, there's some pretty basic things that could be done to incentivize a criminal, somebody who's not even repentant, to actually, you know, earn some money for their victims. And I think that's a better solution than what we have. If you disagree, I'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. I mean, Vincent, do you think this is an improvement or no?
No, I don't think it's an improvement.
What do you think is the right thing to do?
I can't really say. I haven't spent much time.
You have no opinion about it. You don't have any opinion about punishment and crime?
Well, I mean, as I said, I haven't really made a coherent thought.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that...
You against the death penalty?
I mean, I'm against this and the system that we have now.
Okay. But you don't really know what should replace it.
No, yeah.
Okay, so that's a fair position to not really know. To be able to
that,
admit.
I mean, that everyone will be happy with, that it will work for everyone.
No, not everyone's going to be happy.
No, I know, but I mean, you know.
I mean, you've got a loved one murdered. That's probably not a very happy thing. Even if you're cashing the checks, you're still not going to necessarily be happy about it.
Absolutely not.
So it's an honest thing to say that you don't have an opinion because you're not well-researched enough on it. Let's continue here. Since you brought up the...
I will say that in regards to murders, if we didn't have this gigantic coercive total, you know, prison planet nanny state, I think people, you know that pretty much self-defense is illegal, right? Shooting mm-hmm. someone in self-defense, like, you know, I think if someone is like running away from like a property with a stolen TV, they should be allowed to be shot in the back. So
do
I
you
think
that's really worth doing?
Absolutely.
Do you think it's worth somebody's life over
absolutely.
A television set?
Well, no, I mean, it's not the television set's a thing. I mean, it's the fact that they're willing to violate your personal space to steal
something. You think that deserves death?
Well, I mean, I think it should be stopped in any way possible. I mean, I'm not going to just gonna
let
someone steal my
stuff. Is that brutalism? Is that what's called brutalism?
I don't want to put a label on something mm-hmm. that's just my
wouldn't you
my
say that's
view.
Excessive? No. I mean, as far as if you're not actually
well,
being threatened?
Well, that implies they have to break in. No, first, if they're stealing the TV, that means they broke into the house.
Right, so but they're running away. In, you're saying you'd shoot a man in the back?
Yeah, absolutely, for stealing my stuff, yeah. I mean, it's not legal, so I'm not going to... No, so I mean, like, if it was legal, yeah, but it's not legal, so obviously I'm not going to do it. I mean, that could, you know, I'd end up in jail for murder, even though, you know, it's my property.
It's just
could,
a television set, man.
Well, I mean, it's the idea of it. It's the principle of it. And, you know, I mean, it's obviously they can't run very fast with a set, and a bullet might go through their body and ruin my TV. So I'd probably just have, like, a beanbag gun or something, and I just, you know, shoot it at
I'm
her
fine with that. Beanbag gun, that's fine.
So I don't damage for good. But then they might fall forward and break the TV. So, and then I'd kill them anyways out of frustration.
Speaking of the scandal that you mentioned.
Oh,
with
the college admission scandal.
I've got
a
great little story here from The Onion that I've had in show prep for a couple weeks here. Headline, judge sentences Lori Loughlin to 100 hours of community theater. In the hopes that the experience provides a valuable lesson about adherence to the law, Judge Steve Kim responded to Lori Loughlin's money laundering, bribery, and racketeering charges Friday by sentencing the former Full House actress to 100 hours of community theater. Quote, as punishment for the dishonesty, flippancy, and disregard for the law Ms. Loughlin has displayed, I've sentenced her to perform in a minimum of 12 different community theater productions around the greater Los Angeles area, said Judge Kim, who expressed his intention of sending a message to all those who believe themselves to be above the law through the actress's mandatory court-ordered participation in small-scale productions of The Pajama Game, Oklahoma, Little Shop of Horrors, and an upcoming modern retailing of The Crucible. Quote, Loughlin will be required to run lines with a designated sponsor to ensure she's completely off book for each production and learn all necessary choreography and blocking. She will even be required to work as a grip when needed. Everyone should know what it's like to work for weeks on a play that goes up for an audience of 9 people. If Miss Loughlin had known what was at stake, perhaps she would have thought twice about her crimes.
All right, well, community theater isn't that bad. There's way more than 9 people, even in rural areas where I do it.
At press time, the judge had also added an extra punishment to the sentence, requiring Loughlin to also appear at the poorly attended basement cast parties following the conclusion of each production. 855-450-FREE, and yes, The Onion is a satire site for those who don't know. 855-450-FREE like freedom. You can join us here. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free and join us here. Our number's 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord on-air call-in line rooms. If you want to jump into one of those right now, there's actually a couple people in there, but there's 4 lines, so there's usually an open one available for you over at discord.lrn.fm. With you tonight, you've got Ian.
You got Vincent.
And, of course, you can join us online over at freetalklive.com, where there are many features, and they're free, including our forum, where you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners at forum.freetalklive.com. Once again, that's forum.freetalklive.com. It's also the same forum that features the ForkFest forums, which, honestly, are busier than the Free Talk Live forums, so head on over there. There's different stuff to talk about at forum.freetalklive.com. So we go to your calls and thoughts to the Discord lines. Hoju is on the line in Florida. Hello there.
Hello, Ian and Vincent.
Hey.
How are y'all?
What's on your mind tonight, Hoju?
About, I don't know if it was the Arion censored or what happened with Twitch ban.
Yeah, so it's a suspension, I guess. We're not banned forever. 3-day-long suspension. It's been 1 day so far, so probably be out from underneath it late Sunday. And ostensibly, nudity is what they claimed the violation was. Now, we know that Aria has been doing her Aria Uncensored show on Tuesday nights for the last 3 weeks. This was week number 3. Yeah. And arguably, it was the best episode of all of them. It was her and Derek J.
Derek J. was there.
Yeah, and Derek was doing an awesome job. Basically, flipped the show.
And he was dressed very well and
of
very
course.
Clean cut.
Yeah, Derek always looks great. I mean, he's very handsome. But he basically flipped the show around and actually interviewed Aria on her own show. It actually was a really interesting program. And unfortunately, I suspect that's what they're calling nudity because Aria was topless during the show. Now, you know, that brings up some interesting questions on, well, first of all, what is Twitch's nudity policy? Because they say it's not allowed. Go ahead, Hoju.
So I have a question about when you did topless, you and your other male co-host did the topless Tuesdays or all that stuff. Again, I've been listening to you guys for over 10 years and watching it and seeing the topless Ian, topless
I don't know how many days I was topless for in 2018 during the show. I mean, if it's warm in the summertime, I'm usually walking around
your shirt off.
Yeah, I don't have my shirt on almost all the time. And that's not like I don't just take my shirt off for the show. It's all day long. You know, I'm out on the porch working on the laptop or whatever. I don't have a shirt on.
Yeah, I'm down here in Florida. It's hot. I'm sitting on the back porch and it's hot as hell right now.
Absolutely. So, you know, they didn't ban us for that. And we had people coming into our chat room saying, you're not allowed to be topless. We're going to report you. So, I mean, I presume some of that was true. I presume some of them actually did report us when we were topless over the summer, but we didn't have Aria. And Aria is a person born as a man. Still,
she's awesome, I know.
Yeah, and
know
she still has her junk between her legs. So she's still technically a man in that way, but she presents as a woman.
Hang down.
Right, there you go. That's a good one. She still presents as a female. And so does that mean that it's okay to be a man and be topless, but not be born as a man and present as a female and be topless on Twitch? Or is all toplessness on Twitch prohibited? It's just that it wasn't enforced on us by chance over the summertime. I have emailed Twitch and I have yet to receive a response from them about this. So
well,
I don't know.
You boys weren't on there windmilling the hang downs, so that's
no,
sure.
Definitely not. That so would be a violation. There would be no doubt in my mind that that would be a violation.
Question I got for you and Vincent.
Yeah, sure.
About the elections. So 2020 election. So if it's old Biden, Hillary, or Trump, who's going to win this election in 2020? Or Michelle Obama?
Oh, well, has Michael Obama expressed any interest already in running?
Vincent, I listen to InfoWars and I know you do too. And I love Owen Troyer a lot better. I like the War Room, but
oh no, I could barely stand listening to that. But yeah, no, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Michael Obama
has Michelle. Well, I mean, although I have seen some, but if Alex Jones is Bill Hicks, then Michelle Obama is Michael Obama. Okay, there. That's how I'll say it.
Correct.
As much evidence for either. Has she expressed any interest in running yet? I haven't heard anything about that.
Not that I've heard, but they're thinking they're putting that on the back burner and going to pull that out the last second. Because Uncle Joe grabbing on the females and the young kids. That ain't going to happen. And Hillary,
he's winning
obviously.
The polls. I mean, not that that means anything, right? Like this early on in the election, those things changed dramatically.
Even before the first primary. So to answer your question, I think if it's between, what was it? If it's between like Trump and Biden, I mean, I think it's possible they might try and take out Biden for, you know, the women's stuff, but also just like that he's, you know, a straight white male, right? Like, you know.
But also in 2016, didn't Hillary screw Biden out and the election because he should have won over Hillary?
It came to be between her and Bernie, and I think somewhere I heard that Bernie. He was going to, because there's like a tradition of the vice president running after a four-term president, and he didn't do that, most likely because, you know, Clinton ran the DNC and they put the kibosh on any of his aspirations. That's what I suspect.
So now that you brought that up, Vincent, so this Russian collusion crap that's gone on for 2 years, and the Mueller report, whatever, so what's happened with that? How much taxpayer money have we wasted, and what has come out of that?
Oh, it's like $30 million or something.
That's what the report cost?
It was like dozens of millions of dollars, I think. I did talk about it on QA at one point, but I forget the exact number.
How do they calculate that? I mean, isn't it just the salaried employees working on, you know, typing reports? What extra
taxes
costs? I understand that, but what are the extra costs involved? I mean, whether Mueller
travel,
is...
lodging.
Okay, I suppose
interviews.
You're right
They interviewed like hundreds of people. Right,
they're not paying them to interview them.
No, I know, but like, I mean,
you're saying traveling to go and
it could be. Well, they probably don't even cover the travel anyway. So yeah, you're right. I have no idea what they're spending all this money on. But it went on for two years.
What collusion did they find with Trump?
I think each special prosecutor hires his own staff and office. I don't think he uses the Department of Justice staff because if there was a reason for the Department of Justice to recuse itself in the first place, all of their staff would be suspect.
And the staff that Mueller hired,
I think that's what they called the
13 Angry Democrats. That was it. Because like they found out all 13 of the staff had extreme bias. Like, what was it, the FBI agent Peter Strzok? Like, they have the text messages between him and his girlfriend, Lisa
and
Page.
And the CIA? Also.
I mean, I you probably know more than I have. I know just from, like, you know, the occasion when I watched the Sean Hannity's opening monologue. It's, I mean, it's just been going on for so years. I got so fatigued.
Yeah, 2 years.
And it's going to go on even longer because people are saying, oh, well, this isn't the end of that. We're still going to hold on to it.
Yeah, it's a huge, ridiculous waste of time and money, but that's what government does, right?
I'm really curious to find out what the counter investigation uncovers, because it really does look like Obama spied on the Trump campaign.
Oh, really?
And if we remember Watergate, Watergate was about two things. It was about spying on the Democratic National Committee. In this case, it was Republicans spying on Democrats. In the modern case, it seems to be the other way around, which, you know, I expect about the same behavior from those two groups.
Sure.
That doesn't surprise me much. And it could turn into a serious matter. But what's even worse would be if it was found that Obama and Hillary were deliberately feeding false information to the FBI in order to keep this Trump spectacle, the witch hunt, going. Because then they would be obstructing justice and making false reports to the FBI, both of which are punishable offenses, and the guy in charge might be pretty irritated.
Hoju, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you as we go to and continue with more of your calls and thoughts. We do have Bad Slave on the line calling us from New Hampshire. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm here. My call was, you know, we're all talking about all these government programs. We've got the friggin' progressives in there wanting to, you know, ramp up all kinds of new programs, both in the state and in the federal levels, not to mention local. We've got so much government, and none of these legislators, lawmakers, you know, people that are out there making more law have any clue that every bit of law gets made eventually has got to be getting rid of. I mean, the fact is that most of what they do is a complete destructive episode, and we just need to be without it and need to.
Oh man, I totally agree. You got my vote. Are you going to run for state rep?
I did once in 94.
Do it again. Yeah. Thanks for the call tonight, Bad Slave. I appreciate it. We need more people out there in the government saying things like that. And now that there's this big taxation is theft meme happening in the state house in New Hampshire, you know, that should continue. Speaking of continuing, there's going to be a special episode of Hippie versus Nazi coming up at dlive.lrn.fm, so be sure you tune in there. We'll see you tomorrow.
Would you like to hang out with Penn Jillette? He's keynoting Freedom Fest this year. I, for one, am thrilled. Freedom Fest is the largest liberty-oriented gathering in the world. They take a Big Ten approach with libertarians, conservatives, liberals, anarchists, capitalists, and just open-minded people mingling together to hear real debates, share real solutions, and converse freely. This year's theme is the Wild West, a time of liberty and opportunity, or a time of anarchy and violence. Maybe both. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and get your tickets now. freedomfest.com/FTL. Not convinced yet? Hey, I understand. It's a high-end event. Even with coupon code FTL50, sure, you're likely to receive investment advice that'll make that sum seem paltry. But I have something special for you. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and you'll get the 5 best speeches from last year for free. Call it a test drive. Do yourself a favor and go to freedomfest.com/FTL. freedomfest.com/FTL. Use coupon code FTL50 for a discount.